Hello all, and welcome to the latest episode of the Horror Countdown Podcast. I'm your host, Doninelli, and with me tonight is my guest, Ebony.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate us doing this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so for today's show, we're going to be looking at our top 10 non-US found footage films. So we're going to put the disclaimer out there that this is basically going to be Asia, Europe, Latin America, and Australia. So I know you said that you wanted to do found footage. So I mean, I suggested this because there's another topic coming later in the season about it. So like found footage thing, like what do you enjoy about it? Like what was the inspiration for choosing it and all that extra kind of stuff?
I think when it comes to found footage, when done correctly, it's very effective. I like the idea of being able to watch what's happening ahead of you as opposed to a standard film where you sort of get a general idea of what's to come. And I mean, my favorite film, considering it's US, I can say it, but my favorite found footage film has always been The Blair Witch Project, and that film got me into horror. So my whole life is dedicated to horror because of that one film. So it means a lot to me, that one.
Nice. Yeah. I was kind of similar. I saw Blair Witch relatively early when it I wasn't immediately when it came out. It was already by the time it had gone to video by the time I saw it, but it was very early on in my horror stage. And yeah, that was another one that really kind of not necessarily like really wowed me, but it was like another one that just like continued me on my journey. So yeah. Yeah, that was another big film. So I'm kind of glad you like that one too. So yeah, so I mean, like I said, we're going to be discussing films outside of the US. So do you have any qualms for who goes first or?
No, I'm fine with you or me. I'm not too fazed.
Okay, well, I guess in that case, I'll take the lead on this one. So my number 10, I kind of went a little bit more recency bias just because I figured that was kind of more familiar for me. And one of the ones that I saw last year was the Taiwanese Incantation, which is number 10. I love the general setup to this. I love the idea of this cursed village and the black magic ritual that this one envelops. A lot of great imagery here. You got this great backstory with this girl that the girl, you know, this young daughter that the girl has to, you know, look after. And, you know, everything just starts, you know, in typical found footage fashion, it starts off kind of small and then, you know, it's like strange things happen, but then it just builds and builds and builds and it finally gets to the crazy finale. So yeah, I have a lot of fun with it. Maybe a bit too long for some, but I'm a huge fan of this one. And my number 10 is Incantation.
I've got to say I haven't seen it.
Oh, nice.
And it's really funny putting this list together. I found a lot about myself because one, I completely forgot about maybe 10 or so found footage films that have been released in the past 5 years or so that I haven't actually seen. Like I forgot just how many have been released.
Yeah, that was one of the things for me when I was doing it was that I had to I actually looked up this website, Found Footage Critic. I actually went there and that was kind of like helped like stockpiling and building the list. So yeah, there's a lot of them that I kind of miss. It's like I said that I kind of have like recency bias just because a lot of the stuff that I've seen it like more recently I'm aware of it. So yeah, maybe a little bit more modern than some, but yeah, I ended up and I had to do that to like help with the research because there's a few that I kind of missed that were.
Yeah, I got stuck. Yeah. I was really surprised at how stuck I got making this list. I was like, oh, I'll have this down easy. And then I got to five of them and I'm like, what do I do now? Yeah. Where do I go? My number 10 is a Japanese film from 2013 called Cult. It's essentially a bunch of like actresses or idols, as they call them over there, who play themselves on a paranormal TV series, and they go to investigate an exorcism in a family, and it's just balls to the wall crazy. It's quintessential Japanese cinema is what I call it. Because you don't go into this thinking it's going to be, you know, that realistic, and it's fun. It's just entertaining. And I really like that about it.
Nice. I've heard of this, but I haven't seen it. So yeah, I'm definitely intrigued. I heard about the gimmick with it being like the actresses playing themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have heard of it, but yeah, I haven't seen it. So yeah, I'm definitely intrigued. I guess we both have something to put on our list now because of the other.
So, yeah, exactly.
So cool. So yeah, moving on to my number 9. I debated about putting this one higher. This was one that I kind of forgot about because I don't remember it actually being found footage, which is weird. Just mm-hmm. because I mean, you'll see in a second, but I kind of forgot this one was found footage, and I forgot how much fun it was. I went with Rec 2.
Okay. Yes.
So yeah, I kind of forgot about it because I remember seeing 3 and 4 first. I actually mm-hmm. found those first. I saw those before I saw the first Rec. So I remember the franchise being like shot traditionally, and then like the mm-hmm. first one was, you know, I mean, you know, maybe we'll talk about it later, maybe we won't, no spoilers, but I remember 3 and 4 being shot. I mean, 3 is kind of like a hybrid between the two, but I remember them being like shot traditionally. So I forgot 2 was shot as a found footage one. And after going back and revisiting it, yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. The, you know, continuation, setting everything, you know, like actually taking place during the same thing, because the finale of this one is they do a reversal to the beginning of the film, and that's is like directly correlated to the final moments of the first one. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it kind of like ties everything together. It expands the mythology really nicely, which I really like. Frenetic action sequences. I mean, the confrontations in the hallway in here are really thrilling. And mm-hmm. I love like all the close quarters combat stuff. I don't really like the kids, and that's kind of like yeah. one of the reasons why I kind of put it a little lower, because I forgot how annoying they are. It's like, you stupid morons, like, what are you doing? Like, why would
they
you
really are annoying.
It's like, why would you sneak into the building? Like, I mean, what are you going to solve? Like, what are you trying to prove? But yeah, I mean, it's not enough to like downgrade all the fun that the rest of the film has. So yeah, like I said, this was one I kind of forgot for a little bit, but I went with Rec 2.
That's a solid choice. I like that. My number 9, sort of similar in relation to, I forgot it's technically classed as found footage, would be the 2017 Japanese One Cut of the Dead. Because it's sort of like half found footage.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. And I was researching it, and I'm like, do I include this or not? But it's on every bloody found footage list. I'm like, you know what? I'm putting it on there. So for that reason alone, I have it as my number 9 because I didn't know what else to put. But I do really enjoy this film, though. I was really pleasantly surprised, especially being part of the zombie genre. I'm not a big fan of zombie films at all, but this is just so much fun. Like, just the way that they go into it and being a single take, and the ridiculousness of it, especially at the first half of the film, and then when you realize what they're doing when it flips. I don't want to do spoilers, because if someone hasn't seen this, you really should go in it blind. But when they do the flip, and then you realize what's going on, and I just thought it was really interesting, really cool take on the genre.
Yeah, I was debating about this one myself, and I kind of figured, because at least half of it is not found footage, I kind of dropped it for that reason. But if I would have included it as if I, you know, if something was like more traditionally found footage, I probably would have included it. But yeah, yeah. I'm a massive fan of that one as well. I love the characters. I love the twist. I think, you know, mm-hmm. the setup is just fantastic, and I love the way it plays out. But yeah, that was one I was debating about it myself. So, I mean, at least you got to mention it. So
we've got it on here somehow.
Yeah, I'll take that. So my number 8, I'm kind of known. I mean, I say this almost every single show. I'm kind of known for going off the beaten path and taking weird choices. So this is one that I don't know a lot of people have seen, and it's criminally undervalued, and I don't see many people talking about it. I went with this British film called The Truth Will Out. And yeah, it's like I said, it's not one that I know a lot of people have seen because it kind of just showed up on like free streaming services, and like, very few people actually talk about that. But it's actually really good. It's about a TV show host. He's just a, like a regular, like I'll find like this weird person, and then I'll find this person with a weird job, and I'll follow them around for a day in their lives and like document that. And he ends up getting caught in the scandal, and he's trying to repair his image, and he ends up joining up with this team of exorcists who are called out to investigate the case of this woman who they say is, the family members say that she's possessed. So he goes ahead and he follows the exorcism team to the house, and he follows them around. And it comes to find out that there's actually this connection between everybody involved. And that's kind of where like the Truth Will Out title comes from. It's
Cool.
actually really clever, and I really like the way that they do that. And I like I said, I'm not going to spoil it because not a lot of people have seen it, and it's like kind of under the beaten path. But the third act of this thing is just an absolute roller coaster. I love the way that this thing goes. And like I said, the title makes sense when you put all the pieces together. It's kind of, it's like it's all third act. Like everything gets revealed in the third act, and all of the revelations, and then the connection becomes apparent then. But just give it time, let it play out, and I think you'll really have fun with it if you watch it. On the lower budget side, but it's not that big of a deal. It does what it does really well. So, yeah, my number eight is The Truth Will Out.
Yeah, I'm super curious about that one. That sounds really interesting. I've never
Yeah,
heard of it.
like I said, yeah, I'm known for going off the beaten path. That's not the first time I'll do it, trust me. But I found it on this free streaming service. I don't know if you have one called Tubi over
I
there.
love Tubi. Yeah, we do.
Okay, yeah, it's on there. I found it
Just
one
watch
day.
it.
Yeah, I found it on there one day, and I just typed in, like recently added or whatever, and it popped up, and it was like long enough to fit in a, free slot that I had, so I just watched it just randomly. I was like, yeah, I
Find
got
the
an hour.
best stuff on TV.
Yeah, I was like, I was saying, I do this more often than not. It's like I got an hour and a half before work. Let's see if there's anything here, and load it up, and it's like hour and 20 minutes. Yeah, you're good. Commercial breaks and stuff. So I just flipped it on like that, and I was just like, wow, this was really good. So yeah, it was a nice surprise. But yeah, I have seen very, very few people talk about it, so it's not one that I know is like really out there in the community. But if you give it a chance, it's actually really good. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to write that down because that's really up my alley. I really want to, that's interesting.
Cool.
My number eight. So mine's also a British one for number eight. This is from 2007 called Exhibit A, which I find not a lot of people have really seen this either. And those who have aren't really that big of a fan, but I like it. So the general idea of the film is that a girl got a camcorder for her birthday, and you sort of just see this family completely unravel due to financial stress and just other general stresses throughout your life sort of thing. And she's recording everything, and you see this more so the father than anything just completely descend into madness. And there's this particular event that happens in the film that sort of just you can see it happening if there was enough pressure on someone, and it's sort of just it's so unsettling. And it's a really cheaply made film, and the whole reason it's called Exhibit A is because the camcorder is obviously Exhibit A in a trial, and it's hard to watch. It's a bit of a slow burn, but if you get through the whole thing, I find it's worth it at the end for the final, I don't know, for the final scene, I suppose you could call it, for how it wraps up, and it's just kind of sad. But I don't know, it's just one that I find not a lot of people have seen, and those who have seen it find it kind of boring because it's like a bit of a slow burn at the start, but I feel if you just push through it, it's worth that final ending.
Nice. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely have to look into this one, because yeah, I'm one of those I haven't heard of it, so yeah, I'll definitely have to look into it. So move on to number 7. I know that the last couple of ones have been kind of a little under the radar, not really all that well known. So This one's going to be a little bit more popular. I went with Troll Hunter from 2010. So yeah, maybe not one that I think a lot of people always classify as horror, just because, you know, it's giant monsters, but yeah, I have so much fun with this. I love the concept. I love the folklore that this introduces. The idea of this guy being this kind of cattleman who kind of just like keeps everybody in line, and, you know, following him around and seeing like all the day-to-day stuff that he does, and, you know, all the various things that he does to, you know, keep trolls in, you know, the forest where they belong. And then, you know, like you have like the big finale with the giant thing at the end that, you know, not necessarily a spoiler because it's the, you know, damn cover art, but yeah, I love the way that this plays out. I love the humor. I love the sarcastic back and forth that everybody has, just the guy that's done with everything. He's fed up with it. And, you know, he's ready to just move on and just say, you know, here's all my secrets, have at it. So yeah, I love the idea of this one. It's a lot of fun. There's some great action sequences in here, and yeah, it looks far better than its low budget origins. So yeah, I know that this one's kind of you know, a little bit more out there, but if you haven't seen it, give it a watch. So number 7 for me is Troll Hunter.
That was always one of the films that would pop up on socials, and I'm like, I've seen that, and then I'll go to look at it, and I'm like, wait, no, I haven't seen that, and I keep forgetting to watch it. So you've just reminded me again for the 100th time in like 2 months that I need to watch it, because I keep forgetting. Because I know it's going to be right up my alley. Like, I like all that sort of stuff. And I don't know why. I think the past couple of years, I think life's just gotten away from me, but definitely got to watch that. My number 7, and this is what I mean by at the start, I said I figured a lot about myself, because there's a lot of Japanese on this. So this is another one from Japan. This is from 2005, called Noroi the Curse. Now, this is the definition of slow burn. So if you're not into like dragged out storylines where not a lot happens, don't watch this. I'm just going to flat out say now, do not watch this, because not a lot happens for a lot of this film. But I got suckered in to this film where I wanted to know what was going to happen. I do think it is a little bit too long though, but it's sort of like a mockumentary sort of thing, where like a paranormal investigator starts investigating a series of mysterious events that happen in, I think if I remember correctly, it's one town or maybe spread across a couple towns, and it's just a lot of weird happenings that are occurring to different families, and they're trying to link what's actually the cause. Is there a link? Is it random? That sort of thing. So there's a lot of investigating in it, which is why not a lot happens. But I just find this story compelling enough to keep watching. So that's my number 7.
Yeah, I saw it once. I do remember liking it, but I did agree that it was kind of long and not much happened. Mm-hmm. But I did remember liking this story. I like the way I remember liking this whole demon mythology thing that this guy stumbles upon, and like all the various little webs and stuff that goes on. I don't remember much because I've only seen it just the once, so it's probably going to be one that I would have to revisit to be a little bit more familiar with. But I do remember liking it, even though, like you said, it's a slow burn, and I think that was kind of like my issue with it, was that it was just slow and not much happened. But
they could have definitely reduced it and still had enough information in it.
But like I said, I've only seen it the once, so I don't have much else, but I do remember liking it for what it's worth. So I would definitely have to revisit that one to be a little bit more familiar with it. So we'll move on to number 6. This is one, again, almost no one has seen. Another one that's kind of under the beaten path, but I went with this film called 1974, The Possession of Altair.
Okay.
And it's from, I believe it's Mexico, or maybe it's Colombia. For some reason, it's either Mexico or Colombia in my head, and I don't know why, because it's kind of like, why those two countries? Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's either Mexico or Mexican or Colombian. And it's about this guy who in 1974, he marries this girl named Altair, and he's an amateur filmmaker. So he has a video camera that he gets for his wedding. And he decides to start documenting the wedding trip that he and his wife are taking. And it soon turns out that every night she ends up taking the camera, and she starts recording all these weird, gruesome things. And it's slowly, once he starts looking back over the footage, when he gets back home, he starts to discover that there's this strange secret that his wife is hiding from him. And it goes into like this really supernatural space. It's really creepy.
That sounds super interesting.
Yeah, it's got this really, really like weird tone where it's just like everything is just slightly off, and then something really just like really freaky happens. And there's this one scene in particular. They have, it looks like, I would swear, like 100 crows just circling the house. Like he goes outside and he's got the camera on, and there's just like around 100 crows just flying in a circle, just like in a continuous circle swarming over the house.
Oh, that's unsettling.
And then all of a sudden, just they just all flopped. They all just flopped dead. And he captures the whole thing. And yeah, like the like all of the crows, just every single one of them just flops dead in the courtyard. And it turns out that you know, that kind of leads to what's going on later. But it's just kind of like stuff like that, where it's just like, you know, something unsettling, and then there's just like this big thing that happens, and then it just like goes on from there. So it's one that I saw it for a festival, and I saw it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it because it's been released since, but I don't know like where it is. But I remember just absolutely finding like the setup really chilling and creepy, and the, you know, like every found footage film, like the third act just goes bananas. But yeah, if you see it, definitely give it a watch, because it's something that I haven't seen too many people like talk about, and it's been out for several years. I think I saw it in like 2019 or so.
Okay, what was it called?
It's called 1974, The Possession of Altair. I think, like I said, for some reason, it's either Mexican or Colombian, and I don't know why I've got it narrowed down to these
Mexican.
Two. Oh, it is Mexican?
Yeah, okay. It's Mexican.
Okay, maybe for some reason I thought the guy was, maybe it was like a Colombian director in Mexico or something, but for some reason I'd always assumed Mexico or Colombia or whatever, but yeah. Yeah, if you're looking it up, you've probably, you know a little bit more about that. So, if you find it, give it a watch, because it's really creepy and unsettling. And yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. So my number six is 1974, The Possession of Altair.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that one. Number six for me is one very close to home, being Australian. The 2008 Lake Mungo. A lot of people are very hit and miss with this film because it's yet again another slow burn. I think I have a bit more of a connection to it being Australian. The scenery and just what you see, it's very like how I grew up in the 90s. It's very realistic. So it's about a family coming to terms with the drowning of their daughter and trying to figure out whether certain events that are happening around them are supernatural or not, and whether they're linked to her drowning. And it's another sort of mock, I suppose you could call it mockumentary, where they're sort of, they're like TV interviews and they're interviewing the family and that sort of thing. And it's just, I always just found it really unsettling to watch, especially towards the end. There's just a few scenes that happen that I just go, ugh, like it just gives me shivers. So that's why that's my number six.
Yeah, I've seen this a couple of times. I actually, when I first saw it, I absolutely hated this. Like, when I first saw it, I was about ready to claim it as one of the worst films I'd ever seen.
So many people say that.
Yeah, but I've come around to it a little bit more since. I'm still not a huge fan, but I have said that I can't say that the film has grown on me. I think it goes better once he gets past the, well, I faked all the photographs thing, because I think that's always, once it gets past that, I have very little issues with it. It's just for me, that first half where it's like, you know, he's showing you all the tricks that he does to, you know, insert her into the photographs. That's always been like my main issue with it. But I think once I've gotten past that issue, that part of the film, I really like it. And, you know, some of the stuff in the quarry is really haunting and chilling. I really like the discovery that goes on there and some of the later stuff. But yeah, when I first saw it, I hated this. So
many people hate it. And I can understand why. Like, as much as I love it, I can absolutely appreciate why people wouldn't enjoy it, because it is very, like, I mean, one, it's very slow. And two, it's not a lot of in your face sort of thing. It's just like, okay, here's another interview. Here's another interview. This is what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I get it. But yeah, I think having that connection to it being Australian as well, there's just something about it that just doesn't sit well.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on to our top five. This was one that was kind of hard to leave off. It's not really, you know, all that difficult to assume why. My number five is Cannibal Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, first of all, RIP Deodato. I mean, not too far off of, you know, his death here when we record this, but I get it. I understand all the critiques. I understand the animal cruelty. I'm completely aware of it. I've seen the film twice, and I have no intentions of ever doing it again for the rest of my life because of that. But first of all, the historical significance, because this is the one that literally invented the genre. And, you know, in a situation like this, we have to, you know, pay our respects. But the found footage part of this is one of the, it is the best part of the film. And all of, you know, the social commentary that comes out of it, you know, who's really the savage? Is it us, or is it, you know, the people that live in the jungle that we think we're better than? I love that. I love the, you know, natives rising up and seeking revenge. I think that's handled incredibly well. Special effects, you know, all of that stuff, it's all fantastic. But I have such a hard time with the, you know, the elephant in the room, that it's kind of hard to, you know, bring myself to watch it again. So, I mean, I get it. I'm one that I haven't seen it in well over a decade. I have no intention of ever seeing it ever again, but you know, I still can appreciate all the other aspects for it. It's not number one for various reasons, but I do get it. So
number five for me sort of goes back to one of your previous ones, and that is the original Wreck. So I don't have Wreck 2, but I have the original Wreck. And I just thought this was such an interesting concept for the time. Seems kind of ironic now, having gone through lockdowns, but being locked in one place for quarantine, and just watching what unfolds. Also trying to put yourself in their shoes in relation to being the reporter. That's like, your whole job is to follow these people around and get the story, but now you're also locked in there. I just thought it was really interesting. I definitely prefer this to the remake Quarantine, that's for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I just always found this one really interesting. I just, definitely one of the better found footages overall, like not just non-US, but just in general. I just really enjoy this one.
Yeah, I have that one on my list, and we'll talk about it later. Moving on to my number four. I know that you've mentioned a couple of times about Japanese found footage, and I figure it's time for me to hop on the trend. So I went with probably my favorite. I went with A Record of Sweet Murder. I love this. I love the setup. I love this crazy guy that calls these guys out. Everything that he goes through, just the way that he holds them captive, but he has all these weird sayings, all these cryptic, you know, cryptic warnings, and everything that just transpires, just, you know, the way it just goes bonkers. And then it has just this Lovecraftian imagery in the end. Oh, I'm a big sucker for that kind of stuff. So yeah, for me, I went with A Record of Sweet Murder just to capitalize on the Japanese found footage stuff that you mentioned earlier.
So. I completely forgot about that film, and now that it's not on my list, I'd have it as an honorable mention. I completely forgot about it. My number four goes back to your previous of Cannibal Holocaust. But I have a little bit more appreciation for it because I own it and I've watched it many, 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 many times. I understand the whole thing with the, you know, the killing of the animal. I get it. No, I'm not condoning it, but I like the film too much to just put that aside and, you know, worry about that affecting my viewing of the film. So as I said, I own it. I love it. As you said, there's not much more I can say that you didn't say. It's, you know, the start of the genre, it's the political messages, it's everything just wrapped up in one nice little bubble, and it's just such a good film that I can watch over and over again.
All right, so we'll move on. My number three, again, this is kind of recency bias, but I saw this and I absolutely fell in love with it. I went with the Thai Medium. Or Thai film, The Medium, sorry.
Okay. I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, this one is really, really good. So it's about this woman that is a practicing shaman in this remote village. She's like the local witch doctor. And she gets called in to take care of this case of this one woman who has basically started acting weird. You know, every time that, you know, her mother tries to keep her in line, there's like this weird outburst, or, you know, like it goes beyond like teenage aggression, and it's kind of it's enough to like get people interested in thinking like maybe there's something wrong with her, kind of a thing. So she goes to see her, and it just becomes this whole huge exorcism spiel. Like the final hour of this thing is all kinds of just black magic rituals and, you know, exorcism attempts and all of this kind of stuff that, you know, it just like, it just envelops all this like big supernatural action. Okay. So yeah, it's really fun. Kind of long one. I think it crosses the 2 hour mark. So it's an investment if you're going to look for it. But yeah, it's definitely worth it. I saw it and I fell in love with it. So. All right, well, that leads to your number three.
Yes, back to home country. Got another Aussie on the list. It's my last Australian film for the list. That's 2011, The Tunnel, which I find it's another hit and miss with people. I quite enjoy it. It's about a film crew that go under Sydney. They go underground to some abandoned railway tunnels and find something a little bit unexpected, as you usually do in those sorts of films. You know, it gets dark, it gets gritty, it's under Sydney. So once again, I mean, I'm from Melbourne, but Australia, close to home. But yeah, I don't know. I just really enjoy this one. It's nothing, you know, out of the ordinary. It's a pretty straightforward storyline, but it's always one that I gravitate towards too.
Yeah, I haven't heard of this, so yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I when you first said that, for a second I thought you were talking about a film called The Canal. So
different one.
Yeah, so I'm saying is that as soon as you started in, I thought you were, yeah, it was a different film, so I was like, yeah, I haven't heard of this. So yeah, I'm gonna have to check this one out. It sounds interesting because
It's definitely like, think of, I suppose you could think of it like The Descent, but rather than under, like in caves, you're under Sydney. So you're in like these old abandoned railway tunnels and. And yeah, so, you know, it's they're investigating, if I remember correctly, it's been a little bit since I've seen it, but I think they're looking into like the government could use the area for like a homeless shelter and stuff like that. And they go underground to check it out and report on it. And then obviously find other stuff down there instead.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into this one. So yeah, I think we've got a bunch of titles from each other here for us to check out. So
yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. So yeah, move on to my number two. This is one that I did, for me, this one is just an absolute one that it works so well for me. When I first saw it, this was just one that it just hit me. And I recommend it to everybody. And it was one that I brought it up a couple of other times recently as one to check out. And it was one that actually kind of reinvigorated my interest in found footage, because I was kind of burned off a little bit by it, just watching a bunch of, you know, just shoddily made crap and, you know, not really getting much of anything big. So I always credit this as being the one that kind of reinvigorated my love of found footage. I went with South Korea's Gonjiam Haunted Asylum.
Ah, I've heard good things. I started it, but stupid me started it at like 11 o'clock at night, so I fell asleep. So it's one I've got to revisit.
Definitely revisit it, because to me, there's some of the most genuinely terrifying moments ever captured on film inside here.
Interesting.
Yeah, so initially, yeah, I've said this a couple of, like I said, I've said this one a couple of other times. I initially put it off because to me, it just looked like Grave Encounters. You know, film crew decides to visit this abandoned, you know, this abandoned mental asylum in the middle of the city. You know, strange things starts happening, yada, yada, yada. But where this thing goes in the final half, like I said, there's genuinely terrifying moments in here, and some of the most unsettling and just tense inducing moments I've ever seen come in the final half to here. And a lot of it, okay, a lot of it's personal, because there's this gag that they do with the eyes. And I, you know, maybe it's an Italian in me who's seen too many Fulci movies, but I have a thing with eye trauma. And it's not necessarily eye trauma, but there's something with eyes, and that's always gotten me. And there's there's a gag in this one here that I just cannot get out of my head, and it's just terrifying and chilling all of this, you know, whatever you want to say. And when you see it, you'll know. It's a little it's a little subtle at first, but when you see it, you'll know. And when it happens, it's just bam. And it, yeah, to me, the film as a whole is really, really good. I mean, the first two thirds are kind of, you know, typical found footage fare, but it's all the final half. And this is, like I said, one of the most terrifying films I've seen. So it,
wow.
Yeah, it reinvigorated my love of found footage. It's one of my favorite films of the decade. And yeah, I really can't say enough good things about it. So yeah, if you can check it out, definitely do so. It's Gonjiam Haunted Asylum.
Definitely got some watching to do this afternoon.
Nice.
For me, number two is a French film from 1992 called Man Bites Dog. Another sort of mockumentary sort of thing, where a film crew follows a serial killer and they record his day-to-day sort of happenings and killings and all that sort of fun stuff. It's a bit comedic. It's not that serious of a film. But then in true fashion, it sort of turns on them and they kind of regret their decision to follow a serial killer around, because who would think something bad would happen for that? So Yeah, it's just a little bit dark humor. It's a little ridiculous, but it's always one that I've really enjoyed watching. So I've popped that as my number two.
Nice. It made my honorable mentions list because it's one of those, I haven't seen it in over a decade. And I remember liking it, but I'm not terribly familiar with it. Like, yeah. I can remember bits and pieces. I remember some of their conversations, and I remember like small little bits, you know, like I remember the switch, and I remember, you know, like him going after them and stuff like that. But I don't remember it too well. So it's one that I haven't revisited recently enough to really be aware of. But yeah, I do remember liking it. So yeah. It was one that I wanted to get to. I just didn't have enough time to finish it in before we got started with this. So yeah. It was one that was kind of like, it was like high on the radar, and I'd seen a lot of people talking about it, but because I'm not familiar enough with it, I just left it as an honorable mention. So yeah. So number one, if you've been paying attention, it's kind of been spoiled. It's Wreck. Just what a setup. I love the way that this whole thing plays out. The reporter, the, you know, stupid little fluff news article that she's doing that serves as the reason that they're there. The insanity that goes on, and it just from the very beginning, like you get the first few attacks and it's like, you know, as soon as they're there, and then all of a sudden, you know, the tarp comes down, the, you know, guns come out, and everybody just starts shooting at each other, and it's so much fun. I remember you saying that you weren't a fan of the remake. I actually really like Quarantine. I think it's a pretty fun film. Yeah, it's unnecessary. Yeah, it's like 99% shot by shot, but I like it. It has its little charm to it. Not better, but I do like Quarantine. So yeah, just had to say that and kind of, you know, defend one that I really like. But yeah, Wreck is just, it just stands out there, and it does so many things right. I love, you know, like the whole thing for me, you know, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of these films, they do it so well that, you know, we haven't mentioned it, but, you know, the number one rule of found footage, why is the camera running? Well, this one here, we get it often enough. It's like, you know, she has to, you know, do her story, and we, you know, everybody's like, you know, why are you filming? Well, we're supposed to be here. We're filming the, you know, the firefighters and you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, to me, I know that, you know, like that's always like the big rule with found footage, you know, like, you know, why is it running? Well, here we get the, you know, like the best example of why is it running. So
yeah,
it does everything right. I love the, you know, it plays with, you know, is it a virus? Is it, you know, possession? Is it this, you know, religious thing? Is it just this bacterial thing? You know, it plays with both angles. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's just fun. So yeah, for me, my number one is Wreck.
See, I didn't like Quarantine because I'm not a fan of Jennifer Carpenter. And that's all it came down to, is I just find her annoying. So I just could not like click to that film at all.
Okay, I understand. It took me a while. I actually went ahead and I saw it right after I saw Exorcism of Emily Rose. So I think that one was that was kind of like one of the things was like, oh, you know, she's also in this one, might as well give that one a shot. And I'm not saying Quarantine's better, but I'm saying I do have,
you can appreciate it.
I do enjoy some of it. So yeah, we'll move on to your number one.
I have a huge warning at the front of my number one. First of all, don't think I'm a certain type of person for this being my number one. Second of all, please read every warning possible if you ever check out this film. Do not go into this blind. Please be very aware of what you're about to watch. My number one is from a series of films called the Guinea Pig series in Japan. If you're listening to this and know the series, then you know why I had to put the warning. They are grotesque. They are very, very bloody. And the film that I've chosen for my number one is Guinea Pig 2, The Flower of Flesh and Blood. Now, this film is a fake snuff film. And Charlie Sheen thought it was real when he saw it. Now, you can take that with a grain of salt because he thinks everything's retarded or stupid because of the drugs and whatnot. But The reason I have this as my number one is because when you do watch it, it is so realistic, so disgusting, and I can't watch it more than once. And if I can't watch a film more than once, then you've done your job right, because I watch everything. Like, a Serbian film is like my top 10 horror films. Like, I'm into everything. If I find a movie that I can't watch more than once, then you've done your job right. So for me personally, it's a disservice for me not to have this as number one, because they did their job. But it is so out there, so disgusting. It's, without getting into too much detail, it's a girl that gets kidnapped and they record everything they do to her, including dismembering her. And it's not an easy watch. So please don't think of me in a certain way for this film being number one. But it's number one because I can't watch it more than once. And if I do that, then you've done your job right, because I watch everything. So that's my number one.
Oh, well, you're in company. I've seen Guinea Pig a couple times, and I haven't finished the franchise. I've seen three or four of them. I think I get confused over like which one's which, because there's there's like six or seven of them. I know for a fact I've seen 2 and 3. I mean, Flowers of Flesh and Gore and Mermaid in a Manhole. I know I've seen those.
I really like Mermaid in a Manhole.
Yeah, Mermaid was close. I wanted to put it on my list. I like that one more than Flowers, just because I think that one's a little bit more of a cohesive film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't finished the franchise, so I can't really say much. But yeah, I really like Flowers. I love the grittiness of it. Just like it. I can't even recall if the camera ever moved. Like, I remember it just like being set there and just like it happens. Mm. And to me, I think that's one of the most chilling things about it, is just it feels just like completely genuine. Like you said, it's like the snuff film thing, where once it starts, I can't recall the camera moving. Like, I can't recall if they like set it down, if there's like a guy filming it, or they do all kinds of camera angles. It's just bam, straight in your face. So
yeah, and that's the most unsettling thing about it. It really gets you going. It really sucks you in.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
That's
quite a list. So do we have any other honorable mentions? I know you said you had one. Was that just the one I mentioned, or?
Yeah, I don't really have many, because a lot of them are on my to watch list. So
like I said, I had like Mungo on mine, and there's another one that was mentioned, but the one that's left is a French film that I saw a couple of years ago, and I remember really standing out. I haven't seen it since, so it's not on my list. But it's called Making Off. And so it's about this guy who decides that, you know, his whole life is in shambles, nothing's going right. You know, he's going to try to, you know, he's going to try to like restart his life. And he's going to do that by making a low budget horror movie. But he becomes so tyrannical and so like, he thinks he's like God's greatest gift because he's doing this movie, that he ends up becoming just like this complete psychopath. And everything, you know, just like his whole life just spirals from there. And it, you know, eventually resorts to him trying to come up with the most outrageous things for them to do, for like the cast to do, which includes his wife and his friends. So it's like, you know, he's shooting like this, but he's like shooting the small, you know, film in the, you know, like the woods and out by his house. But there's two sequences in here that are really terrifying. One is he ends up in, you know, it's not a spoiler because it's mentioned numerous times. So it's not a genuine spoiler, but he ends up murdering one of his friends. And in the course of trying to come up with shocking things to do, he ends up disemboweling and devouring him. And one of the things he does is he ends up and he hacks out his colon and eats the remains of his what's inside. So it goes there, and you know, he's like hacking into the body, and you see like him pulling out all these pieces, and he's just like biting into it and devouring it. And then he pulls the colon off and he like shows it off and it says, here, you want me to do this? And he slices a thing open and he just like starts devouring the remains. And it's like, oh,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those that it's, I don't know if there's a lot that I've seen it, but I remember mm-hmm. watching it a few years ago. I remember, I think I got a screener for it for some, I was working for like some company and they sent me a screener for it. So I remember watching it for that. But yeah, that was one that I remember watching and I was like, wow, that, cause it, you know, it's just like, it starts off with this guy and he's doing this, you know, like low budget film and, you know, he's got his wife and his friends there and then it just goes off the rails. So.
Oh, I have to watch that. That is so up my alley.
Yeah, that's the only other one left. So yeah, I guess that will wrap us up for our list. So yeah, thank you for doing this. This was a blast. Can say we've probably given each other quite a few films to add to our watch list. So I really appreciate
it. Yeah. No, thank you for having me. I'm pleasantly surprised. I love finding out about, especially found footage films that I don't, that I'm not aware of. So yeah, got a list.
All right, awesome. So before we go, do we have anywhere we can find you and your work online?
Yes, so I have two podcasts. The one sort of in the process of being rebranded at the moment, but it's called the Film Spark Podcast. Kind of similar to this, but do a bit of all film. You can find on all social medias as film_spark_pod. As well as all over Spotify, Apple and such. My other podcast is called the Sweet and Sour Nuggies Podcast, which is a mental health podcast, and same thing on all socials at SSNuggies Pod and Sweet and Sour Nuggies on all platforms.
Nice. All right. I will have everything linked down below in the show notes for you to check out and follow. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time with a new topic. So until then.